When you study the belief or the myth of the end of the world and how it's going to end, it's pretty fascinating all the ways that people have come up with and are literally following in terms of how the world's going to end. I probably spent a little too much time looking at some of this information, but there are books, obviously movies, songs, articles. There are websites that are making, I think, way too much money selling end-time articles, materials, survival. I mean, you think, you know, I was looking at what are the top ways that people are talking about how the world's going to end. You know, some of my favorite was Planet X. Planet X, it's on its way, and it's going to crash into the Earth. And if you listen to late-night talk radio, it's full of discussion about Planet X. Or the other really popular one is the planetary alignment. Everything's going to align, and we're just going to get ripped apart because of gravitational pulls and whatnot. Or one of my favorite is the polar shift. And so what's going to happen is the polars are going to shift their polarity, and all of a sudden everything's going to change, and we're going to, you know, everything's going to fly off the planet, kind of a thing. Or the other one is, this one's more dramatic, the killer solar storm. It's coming, and at one moment there'll be a burst of solar energy, and it will flash out into space, and will come and envelop the entire Earth, and we will all dissolve in an instant. Hallelujah. I like the supervolcano theories. There's lots of theories that we're going to have just an amazing number of eruptions with volcanoes and, of course, blow apart the Earth. The other one, this one I had to read about this one. I hadn't done a lot of study on this one, but the atom smasher. There is a whole theory out there and way too much information about the technology that exists to collide atoms, and apparently someone's not going to do this very well. And two atoms are going to collide, and the explosion will develop a black hole. And as that black hole develops, we'll get sucked into it. Sounds like a Star Trek movie, doesn't it? Yeah. So, I mean, there is about a 1% truth in some of these movies. So, you know, you gotta. Where did they get this idea from? A lot of people believe in the, you know, destruction will be economic. There'll be a huge economic collapse, and of course, a lot of us believe that as well. When you think of what's happening with our economy, and you know, look at the language being used right now. We're on the edge of the financial cliff. You know, are we going to go over that kind of a thing? Of course, I grew up with this one. When I was reading this, I thought, well, nothing really is new, because when you grow up, and you know, I was a baby in the '60s. And I was in school in the '60s, and I remember all the stories of, you know, the nuclear disasters, and I was totally convinced, and I started to dig my nuclear bunker in our backyard, because that's what you did back in the '60s, and so there still is that catastrophic nuclear accident that's going to occur, so we should be digging, you know, or having secure basements. And there's amazing descriptions about exactly how they're supposed to look, all the measurements and everything. If you need help, I can tell you after the service. And then, of course, the pandemic death that's going to come, which is one, you know, I look at that. Of course, the virus is going to be released. And, you know, I was just kind of reflecting on some of my experience. I used to be part of the IG inspection team that did a lot of this kind of stuff for the Air Force. And unfortunately, they way overeducate you about all the really cool stuff out there that's not so cool in terms of germ warfare and viruses and stuff. And of course, one of those vials is going to get busted, and that's it. We're all going to, once again, and we're going to dissolve. A lot of dissolving's going on in all of these things. So, you know, you begin to look at this, and you got to realize that a lot of this is, you know, comes out of something that I want to lay a foundation for today, and really in preparation around the coming around the Lord's table, is that we have to be careful, because a lot of this is myth. A lot of people sincerely believe this stuff, and as a result, you know, I believe it's very dangerous. It's not a correct understanding. You know, the Word of God, which we're going to look at over a couple of weeks here, has a lot to talk about the end and all those things. But you got to be very careful. Myths can be harmless, but they can also be dangerous. I mean, we all grew up with myths, right? I grew up. One of my favorite myths is the Tooth Fairy, right? I mean, who would want to deny a myth that brings financial reward? I can be bought, right? I mean, I was thinking, you lose a tooth, and I was told by my parents that a tooth fairy would come and slip. You know, back then it was, I think, a quarter. I think I was doing pretty good. It increased over the years to, I think I was doing about $1 per tooth, and I was looking forward, you know, you lose. And it wasn't until about 10 years ago I stopped believing in that. But, you believe something because of financial reward. And oftentimes that's one of the ways myths are supported and false beliefs. And again, some can be, I suppose harmless like that, but some can rob us. Because some of the things we believe that we buy into have led to some of us struggling with guilt and shame. I'm convinced a lot of what we see, even with these doomsday articles, it's generating worry and stress. I talk to a lot of people who are genuinely scared about what's coming and what's happening. I mean, when we look at the results of the election for however you wanted them to come out, I have had a number of conversations with people who are really afraid of what's going to happen. We read the news reports of all the things that are going on around us. The fact is, our beliefs have a profound impact in our lives. And we've bought into something that is dangerous in that if you're sincere about what you believe, then that sincerity somehow communicates truth. So if you are sincerely believing something, then the world we live in today, it's declared as because you sincerely believe in it, it must be true. And that is absurd and irrational. It's the kind of thing that is unbelievably destructive. I mean, it's kind of like, this was a little while ago, but Lois and I were going to Seattle, and we had to take two cars. So she had a van, and I had a old Cadillac at the time. And so we were following each other, and, we were doing pretty good until we got into the busy city. And, I got stuck at a light. She went through it. And didn't go through the red light, but was, doing the right thing, and got on the other side, and so I had to wait, and so I had to go find her, and, there was a van that I got behind and started to follow that van for about 20 minutes through the streets of Seattle, flashing my lights, honking my horn, wondering why there was no response. Well, I finally figured out it was not my wife's van. To this day, I have no idea who I was following. I'm sure, I'm just thankful they didn't have a cell phone because I think I would have been pulled over for flashing lights, and they probably were 2 minutes away but kept on driving because who's this nut behind me flashing lights and honking their horn? But I sincerely believe that that was my wife's van, and I was sincerely being led the wrong way. And my wife was worried about where was I? It takes more than sincerity, church. God gives us truth. And truth is, life requires truth. Life requires absolute truth. And there is such a thing as absolute 100% truth. And that becomes an interesting challenge in the world we live in today. Now, I've learned something that when it comes to what we believe, no one really can force you to believe anything. Contrary to popular opinion, if you don't want to believe something, you don't have to believe. If you want to believe something, you can. If you want to believe that Alvis is still alive, you can believe that. And there are people literally who believe that and who have pilgrimages to that place, wherever he lives right now. He's not there, trust me. The Loch Ness Monster. You can believe in it, but it doesn't exist. But people make some serious money off that stuff. I mean, there are things like this that you can believe in. I mean, I really believe the moon is made out of cheese. There are people who believe the world was flat for a long time. So you really can't, though, and this is important, you can't blame people for your beliefs. I've had people say to me, in not these exact words, but in so many words, it's my parents' fault, or it's my teacher's fault, or it's someone's fault. Listen, as you sit here as adults, you cannot say that. You choose to believe what you want to believe. And you can drop beliefs anytime you want to. It is a choice. God has given us a choice, and might I say a responsibility in terms of what we're going to believe or not believe. Scripture is full of so many examples of the truth of this. For example, in Romans 1:25, it says, instead of believing what they knew as the truth. In other words, it's amazing that people will acknowledge truth. The truth that about God, it says they deliberately chose to believe lies. I see that all the time. I see people deliberately choosing to believe and live a lie, even though they know the truth. Proverbs warns us about this in a number of places. One example, 4:23, be careful how you think. Be very careful. The emphasis in the Hebrew is be super careful in how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. I see more people damaged by the thoughts that get into their brain that literally wire human. I see human brains wired in a way because of what they have chose to believe and how to think that becomes amazingly destructive in that person's life. This is serious stuff. And you think about it, everything that we do has a belief behind it. I mean, I know for a fact that many of you sat down in your chair in faith. You believed that when you sat down, that chair would hold you. Now, until you've had a chair collapse underneath you, you have no reason to doubt that faith. But I will not ever forget, because of the shock, that when I went and sat down on a kitchen chair, a wooden chair, didn't realize that the leg behind me totally was splintered. And, you know, back then, of course, you know, boys were young. They don't want to say anything to dad that there was something wrong with it until dad finds out when he sat down. And it totally collapsed. And I found myself in a very awkward position. And I'll tell you, for a long time, I did not trust chairs. God has healed me of that fear. Can you say amen to that? But when it happens like that, it shakes your belief in the facts. See, everyone, you know, you're going to check your chairs, you know, I just know you are. Realize the truth of that. I mean, a lot of us, we're going to end, you know, our time here. You're going to visit a little bit, you're going to go to your car, and you have belief and faith that that car is going to start and get you out of the parking lot and get you home safely. We don't even think about stuff like that. We don't think, and a lot of times that's part of the problem, because we don't think about the oil and the gasoline and all the things that go in helping a car to actually function properly. But we have this interesting, irrational belief that somehow the car will take care of itself. Can you say amen to that? I mean, you don't really have to do a lot to a car, right? It just kind of takes care of itself until something happens. Here's what I see in us. Is we get on autopilot and we live life that way without stopping to evaluate truth. We just start going through, and we don't even stop to think about things. We just kind of go through life and let it unfold as if somehow it's always going to work out. I've discovered that your beliefs, even if they're wrong, will determine the way you act. I know some of you believe lies about yourself and you live accordingly. Some of the you know, an easier one is if you believe you're clumsy. If you truly believe you're clumsy, guess what? You're going to act clumsy. If you truly believe that you're not smart, you're going to act not smart. I've had people say to me, and they use unkind language like, "Steve, I'm stupid." And they believe that. And then they act that way. Some people truly believe that God doesn't care. And that's why they don't pray. People really believe that the Word of God isn't really the Word of God, and that's why they don't read the Bible. Some people actually believe God is out to get them, and because of that, they live their life accordingly. Our belief can literally, profoundly, significantly change our view about ourselves and about who we are. Some of you need a spirit-filled healing and deliverance over the lie that you believe about yourself. But I want you to remember what I just said. You have a choice to believe it or not believe it. God can change. God can change that viewpoint of who you are. I am totally convinced one of the amazing opportunities of ministry that we have is to encourage and build one another up into the reality of what God's Word says about us and not what the world says about us. Some of you have victimized yourself to such a place that you live life the way you live life because of what you've chosen to believe. The Word of God tells us that false beliefs are terribly damaging. I wanted to buy this. I wanted to bring it to you, and I probably should have. I apologize, but I normally send my wife Lois to go buy these things for me. There was the National Enquirer headline. You know, I'm staying in the grocery store, and there's all these really ugly magazines that I wouldn't want anyone to watch me buy, thinking that I might actually read that stuff. But the headlines caught me, and I wanted her to get it because I thought this would be a great one to put on the refrigerator. New discovery, fat-burning prayer. Oh, come on, say amen to that. I thought, what the perfect headlines for the holiday season. Pray Lee's prayers, pounds will melt away. How many people saw that and opened up that magazine wondering, I wonder what's going on here? Have you ever watched TV critically? In other words, have you ever sat down and thought about the messages that are being communicated to you based on the hours that you watch TV and movies and the songs you listen to? I was not feeling very good a while ago, and so it's like you, I kind of just vegetated for an entire day, wanted to get better, and I spent some of that time watching television, and as I was doing that, I was flipping through some of the talk shows and stuff that I, you know, don't normally see, and I thought, interesting messages, and so I started writing down, and I came up with the top 10 messages that, you know, and I'm trying to be, you know, maybe a little cute here, but very serious. Because as I listened to this over and over again, I thought, no wonder people are struggling. Because they're listening to this garbage. And they're believing it. I mean, they are believing it. They believe that all your problems are somebody else's fault. I don't know how many times the message was communicated, this is someone else's fault. There's like no one wants to take responsibility for themselves. Or the world owes me happiness. There is somehow a belief that there is something owed to us, or that happiness is getting what you want. The only way that you truly will be happy is if you get what you want. I mean, some of you believe that as you sit. You wouldn't say amen right now, But you would believe that I could be a whole lot, I've had people say to me, I have struggled with this myself. I would be a whole lot happier if I had this or that. My Saturdays would be a whole lot more fun if I had this. There is never a reason to feel guilty. Somehow guilt is the enemy. Now there is false guilt, but there is real guilt. And guilt, I want to be clear, is a good thing. Because if you don't feel guilty, then nothing's going to change. Matter of fact, if you don't ever feel guilty, I have a special coupon for you where you can spend a few sessions with somebody. That would be a very unhealthy thing. God put into us a conscience. And if you don't feel that conscience, if you don't feel the normal human guilt, well, something's really wrong. Now, I love this one. Man is basically good and unselfish. Of course, this one jumped out. I heard this over and over again. All beliefs are equally valid. I mean, I watch someone say, yeah, it doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist, if you're Hindu, if you're Christian, if you're Jew, if you're whatever. They're all, and literally the guy who was the talk show host said, yeah, they're all equally valid. We ought to be one happy family and in total agreement of all things. I thought, man, this guy is on this stage called television with probably a couple thousand people. I think sometimes the numbers are well inflated, but you know, there's a few people watching. And he gets a chance to declare that, and some people are going, yeah, I want to believe that. I want to believe this. This one I heard a bunch of times. Pornography and perversion are innocent. Like, it's not really destructive. The world would love us to believe that this stuff is just not a big deal. One of the most damaging forces in the church today, well, let me change it. One of the most damaging forces in the world today is our sexual woundedness that has occurred in the world we live in today. I can move to the source of more human suffering and woundedness and injury directly related to sexuality. Most of you in this room have been victimized, really, truly injured by a sexual experience. It is destructive. More men are held captive. And now more women than ever before are being held captive by the addictive nature of pornography and the sad acting out of perversions that somehow are now seen as alternatives. You can have it all. I mean, what an amazing belief that you and I could really have it all. And you shouldn't have to wait for anything. I thought long and hard about putting that one in. That was hard because I believe you shouldn't have to wait, right? You should have it right away. That's why we have Burger King and McDonald's and Wendy's and all these. I mean, that you just get in there, and if it's not done in 60 seconds, we're upset. And of course, this one I heard a couple times. Because you're God, the answer lies within you. Isn't it interesting how often we hear this in Scripture, John 4:1? Don't always believe everything you hear. Don't always believe everything you hear, for there are many false teachers around. In case you didn't know this, everything on TV is not truth. Every movie you see, when you go see a movie, just because Steven Spielberg put it together and there's marketing stuff that says this is close to history, doesn't mean it's true. I know it's hard to believe, but Star Wars doesn't exist. And Star Trek is a fantasy. And how many times have I heard, wow, Star Trek's coming alive? Because we look at our technology and we live life with this crazy belief system. We worry about all kinds of things that are not true. We worry and concern ourselves over things that become the stressors, guilt, the depression, the perfectionism, all the things that need our clarification. Because we have misclarified, we need to therefore correct our misbeliefs that are so deeply injuring us. We need truth. Truth is a roadmap. Truth is a way to navigate. Truth is a way to get to a destination. And you do get lost. And some of us have emotional problems, spiritual issues, relational dysfunctions because we are not living truth. And you have bought a bill of goods about how to have a marriage. And I love you, but you're wrong. That is not how you live life. That is not how you treat another human being. That is not how families become healthy. But yet you've bought into something that needs correction. And you and I need to come to the reality of that and start learning truth so we can live in a healthy manner. Listen, I am all about that as your pastor. Week after week, year after year, I am trying to bring to you the truth so that you can live a healthy life. And I don't have to make any of this up. All I have to do is read the Word of God. I love John 8:32. It's often misquoted, but I love it. It applies here. When you know the truth will set you free. Some of us are in bondage for no other reason than we don't know truth. And God's right here saying, I can set you free. Romans 3:4, God will continue to be true even when every person is false. I'd love that. Listen, consensus isn't how you validate truth. We don't vote on truth. We don't decide because, listen, just because the majority of people might believe something doesn't mean it's true. What an amazing concept. And yet we live in a world today where it is actually said and communicated that somehow because everyone else believes this or does this or lives this way, it must now be true. Cohabitation is on the rise, and I'm hearing people say, well, that's just the new way of living now, living with someone before you get married. Somehow, and they won't say quite this way, but it's truth, and somehow it's okay because we need to test the relationship before I get married, with 1,000% increase going on right now, I can only imagine the injury that's going to be left over in years to come because people were buying into a lie. And I am terribly passionate about you knowing the truth. This word reminds us that one of the reasons we can count on this is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, God doesn't change. There is no update coming out. There is no new 3.0 iPad coming out. This is it. I am so thankful this is it. Can you imagine God saying every year, oh, we got the new update coming? You know, I belong to some organizations, and every year I get the email, well, we have a revision of the rules, new updates, please read, and they send you 100 pages. Really? God's Word never changes. You do not need to expect any new revisions. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was reading an article that was reflecting this, so it brought to mind, I don't know, I'm a baby boomer. I am a baby boomer, I will admit it, which means I was born between 1948 and 1964. So anyone who was born between 1948 and 1964, you too are a baby boomer. Yes, let's raise our hand. Who's baby boomers in here? Praise God. We are not alone. And those who are gray, who didn't raise their hand, you are just old. Just kidding. Sorry, coach. But it was interesting that those of us who are baby boomers were raised under an interesting parenting philosophy. I know because my parents used it in part and came out of the book written by Dr. Spock. And a lot of us who are baby boomers would remember the book, and it was Dr. Spock's baby book. Huge bestseller. And 73 million baby boomers were raised under the instruction that he wrote in that book. And I can still quote some of the things that I learned in school that reflected that style of parenting. Did you know that a few years ago, he went on national, had a national press conference, and basically said, I was wrong. You shouldn't have read that book. And then he said, oh, I'm sorry. Oops, made a mistake. Apologize for your dysfunction. Sorry for messing you up. And so you 73 million baby boomers, oh, just get over it. Now, if only we've been raised according to the Word of God. I want you to know there have been no press conference with God showing up saying, oops, sorry, made a mistake. That's not going to happen. But it will happen. And when the world brings us stuff, we need to decide, is it true or not? Who do you want to trust, the world or the Word? I mean, there's a huge question. Who are we going to trust in our life? Are we going to trust God's Word that is unchangeable, the same, yesterday, today, and forever? Or are we going to trust a textbook? Did you know that textbooks change about every 18 months? My son, who's in college, is taking a course that I took. And I said, use my textbook. I have the second edition, which apparently is an antique. And he went, and the teacher said, oh, we're on the 15th edition now. And it's like 200 and some odd dollars for the fifth. I said, my edition was about $20. Use it. And the teacher wouldn't let him use it. And the teacher said, yeah, we're constantly learning new things. What your dad learned is totally obsolete. What are you laughing for? But when you realize how much things change, what are you going to believe? The Word or the world? And yet the fact is most of you believe the world. Because you buy those textbooks, you read those textbooks, and then you let them become your truth. They become part of your belief system. Do you realize that Jesus said 80 different times in the New Testament, I've come to tell you the truth? 80 different times? How are we going to change the world? By the Word of God. By bringing the message of Jesus Christ. And I believe you and I, one person at a time, one marriage at a time, one family at a time, we will bring truth and let them make that decision and come to that place of choice to believe it or not. But I'm thankful that God does give us a choice. But look what the Word says. Instead, we hold on to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. Instead of all this other stuff, we hold on to the truth, which is the Word of God. The Word spoken to us in love, and therefore by doing that we become more and more in every way like Christ. So the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, when is the end coming? When is the world going to end? What is it going to look like? And in Matthew 24, Jesus was on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. Disciples came to him and they privately asked, when will all this take place? And will there be any sign ahead of time to signal your return and the end of the world? And Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah. They will lead many astray. Wars will break out near and far, but don't panic. Yes, these things must come, but the world won't follow immediately. But the end won't follow immediately. The nations and kingdoms will proclaim war against each other. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all this will be only the beginning of the horrors to come. I want you to know something, that as I read this word, I do not want to be misled. I do not want to fall into something that is not true. And that's why you and I are going to look into the Word to understand. Because many will come and declare something. Many will be, the Word says, led astray. You know, a lot's going to happen. I love the Word. Let me focus on this one thing. It says, but don't panic. Don't panic. In other words, God's saying, you know what? These things are going to come. Let me be clear. The end will come. This world will stop at some point. Let me make it clear. We don't know when. I do know it will not be December 21, 2012. It is not going to be the end of the earth. But a day will come. Jesus will return. And we don't know when that's going to be. But regardless, as we look around, we listen to the reports, here is God's word to you and I. Don't panic. So what are you supposed to do? Trust God. Know the truth. Because the truth is what will set you free. And that's the only way to live. Can you say amen to that, church? As you're looking at your notes, I want you to know I'm not following them. I'm changing the message. I believe that God needs to bring your freedom from being captive and held prisoner by the lies of the world. The truth will set you free. We'll investigate these other things that you can look ahead on. But you shouldn't be surprised. Because, and of course, if you don't know the Word, but if you do know the Word, the events as they are transpiring shouldn't surprise us. And as believers, if you truly have Jesus and you love God, then your view of the events are different. Because you have truth. And the truth will set you free. Free of worry. Free of stress. Free of the bondage that all these things will bring into us. Some of you need to let go of your misguided false beliefs and take on the truth of the Word of God. Some of you need to let go of the lie you believe about yourself. Some of you have bought into something that is not true. And it's time to cut yourself loose of that. Because you're not stupid. You are not a loser. You are not evil. You are not lost. But when you have Jesus, everything changes. And you are truly, the Word says, a new creation. And some of you need to start believing that and living that way. Remember, if you believe you're clumsy, you're going to be clumsy. But if you believe you're a new creation, then you're a new creation. And this isn't mind over matter. This is truth that has with it the Holy Spirit of God that brings something that is absolutely transforming. And it's time for you to be transformed. It's time to drop those beliefs. It's time to let God transform you. I want you to take a moment here, you and the Lord. And would you let that false belief rise up so you could identify it? And here's what I want you to do. We're going to put it on God's altar. We're going to take that thing off. Remember the word it says, take off and put on? It's time to take off that. And let's put on God's truth. And let's start living differently. Go ahead, take a few moments one-on-one with the Lord. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you for your presence and for the Holy Spirit that is in our midst. Thank you, God, for what can be taken off, the deliverance and healing that can take place. Ask you just to be in that posture of your heads bowed, of reverence, and also to create some privacy. I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to many of us right now and asking you to lay down the false belief that you have held on to. It might be that you believe Jesus is the Son of God. And it has always been a challenge for you. How is it, Lord, I believe that, and yet when I look into the mirror, what I see is not a son or daughter of the King. What I see, well, is a failure. A loser. You need to receive the first truth. You are a believer in Jesus. And he said, you are a new creation. He said, you're to put off and put on a new way of living. A new way of believing. God wants to heal you. And God wants to deliver you. With your heads bowed, if this is what you are doing and you know this is happening, why don't you do something for me? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand in what you're saying by a raised hand. I am putting off a false belief about myself, about the world I live in, and I am going to put on Jesus. I want you to raise your hand right where you are right now. Declare yourself and just put your hand up. because that's the first step God calls you to. We are going to ask God for a supernatural, divine intervention in your life. And I want you to know that you need to raise your hand if you want that. Because if your hand isn't raised, then you're saying, there is no false belief. There is nothing here in me. I'm okay. But if that's not true, raise your hand. I want you to put your other hand up and just put them comfortably in front of you, just like you're praising God right now. And I want you to do that. Would you just worship God? Go ahead, just worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Just thank Him right now, because He is going to do this work. It's by the power of God that this happens. I want you to thank Him right now. Give Him praise. Lord, we do praise You. We honor You. We thank You, Lord God. For You bring deliverance, You bring healing, and the truth from Your word sets us free. I want you to receive the freedom of Jesus right now. I want you to receive the freedom that the truth of God's word brings to you. And as you're doing this, I want you to commit yourself. As you're thanking God, you say, Lord God, I commit myself to be a person of the truth. To know the truth, to live the truth, to understand it, to become a person of the Word of God, a believer in Jesus. I want you to say those words. I want you to actually affirm that right now, because you're going to receive communion moment, and we're going to nail that down. Make that your prayer, your declaration to Jesus right now. It's interesting because Luke had an interesting slant on what we've been talking about. And in Luke 21, again, it reflects the same idea of Matthew 24, but listen. It says, there will be strange events in the skies, signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And down here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by roaring seas and strange tides. The courage of many people will falter because of the fearful fate they see coming upon the earth, because the stability of the very heavens will be broken up. Then everyone will see the Son of Man arrive on the clouds with power and great glory. And so when all these things begin to happen, stand straight. Look up. But don't panic. Declare, your salvation is near. That is living as God instructs us, with anticipation and expectation. We look up. We stand tall, and we don't fear, but we declare salvation is near. You do not need to live as a desperate people. That is not how God calls you to live. Jesus did not sacrifice His life for you. Jesus did not go to the cross for you. Jesus did not conquer hell and death for you. Jesus did not raise, and He is a risen Lord who ascended into heaven for you so you could live in desperation. He did this so that you could live with expectation and anticipation and hope, so that you could live the right way with the truth in your life. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. In a moment, we will receive this first element of communion, a holy moment with God that we affirm. We confirm the fact, Jesus, you are the truth, and I receive that truth. If you've not received Jesus as your Savior, then you have not received truth. I would imagine most of us here know Jesus, have received him. But if you haven't, before you let this matzah, this first element of communion, come into your lips, to your mouth, you need Jesus. Would you bow your heads for a moment? And if you're here and you know you need to receive Jesus, before we share in this together, we wait for even one here. You're invited to receive Jesus and to know the truth, to know the way of life, to know life. So you and I are going to pray together. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Heads are bowed. This is a moment between you, me, and the Lord. I want you to raise your hand. And you raise your hand, you say, Steve, let's pray. I want to receive Jesus. I need to do that right now. Raise your hand, and then we will pray. Anybody else, raise your hand. Put it up. Lord, I thank you for the apparent fact that most everyone here has received you. And for that, oh Lord, we are thankful. But thank you for Lee's hands that have been raised. And now we join in prayer that this is a moment of birth and life. This is a moment of receiving truth. This is a moment, as your word says, of being born again. So we affirm that. Lord, we pray that what happens right now is so amazing, for you come and bring the gift of life and truth. And Lord, as we agree together, we thank you, Lord, for what you have helped us to put off. And now we put on something brand new. And for many of us who have walked with you, the world has taken root, but now we are uprooting that in us. And we reaffirm who we are, the truth of who we are. Believers, sons and daughters of the Most High God, of Jesus, our Messiah. And together, we receive this first element. Your body broken for us. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. In the cup that we have, we thank you. For it reminds us that there is a new day. There is forgiveness of sin. It reminds us of the sacrifice. Lord, you gave up your life for us. and you conquered. And you rose and you ascended. And you said that this cup is the cup of redemption. And that when we receive this cup, we're to do it with thanksgiving and in anticipation of what you are doing and will do. So we thank you for this. And together receive your cup in your name, Jesus. Let's partake together, church. Can you say amen to that? You know, it's a Jewish word. Last time like this, you usually do mazel tov, which is blessing, but there's a Jewish word, chaim, life. God brings life. It's richer than just life. He brings a newness. Chaim is a newness in you. You have received a newness of Jesus. Thank you.